few minutes. Father, I worship you, God. Truly, Lord, your presence. This is the air that I breathe. Your presence is life. Thank you, God. Come on. This is the presence. This is the air that I breathe. Your word is food for me. So, come on, will you say, will you tell him, Lord, I love you. I love you with all of my heart. I adore you, Jesus. Your hands and worship Jesus. It's not time to look around. It's not time to look around. We're not playing. We're just worshiping. You come for a worship service. You worship the Lord. As you lift your hands, as you lift your eyes, lift your heart also to heaven. And let him touch you. Right now, healing your bodies. Healing your bodies. Renewing your strength. Right now, as you worship him, as you lift yourself and give yourself to him, he can work in your life. So give yourself to him. Be lost in his presence. Give yourself to him. Let him walk. Let him heal your body. Let him renew your strength. Let him renew your soul. Refresh your soul. To us, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for this privilege to be in your presence this morning. Our eyes are open to receive instructions. We are changed in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for even for healings, for breakthroughs, for changing our lives. Your name be lifted high forevermore in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
So grateful, gracious to us, and we've just been learning and finding truths from His Word to guide us in our lives. I want to talk to you today about something that would almost look like a follow-up of my conversation last week. Remember, last week I talked about manipulating losses. Powerful, right? I said you to learn to manipulate loss. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, if it dies, it produces abundance. So from that scripture, we understood how to manipulate loss and that we can actually choose loss and be certain of the gain we will get. We can choose loss, come on, I said, and be certain of the gain we will see in our lives. And I told you, I said, in fact, the certainty of gain would only come from the certainty of loss. So if I want to be certain, 100% certain of gain, then I should just focus more on loss. Because if we focus on the things we gain, we want to gain in our lives without considering the things we would lose to get those things, we might actually not get to the mark and get to where we want to get in our lives. Because except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. It's not about what it wants. It's not about the gain that it wants. It wants to have abundance. It wants to multiply. But unless it falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So the choice to lose increases the probability, the certainty of our gain. So while you could be writing the things that you want, and these are the things I want to see in my life this year, and you could be approaching those things, I mean, trying to get those things. I said, there's a certain level of certainty you get when you know that the loss of these things will bring about these other things I want to get. It's as good as saying, remember, I also told you, I said last week, remember, we did this work last week, it's powerful. When one door closes, another door opens. And so what we wanted to learn last week was to learn how to close the doors ourselves so that the other door can open. And we always know that the other door is always better. So, but many a times, God helps us by allowing the door to close and then the other door opens. But I'm telling you now that you can manipulate loss to the degree where you know that because of these things I have lost, then I'm certain of these things I will gain. Because of this door that I have closed, that other door must open. That's powerful. Apostle Paul says, we looked at Paul, right? He said, don't worry, what I want to talk to you today is about eternal weight of glory. So, and it connects to it, and it connects to it, so just stay with me. So, he says, I have a lot of things. Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, blameless. He said, this is all that I am. He said, but all those things, of my standing, family name, all those things, he said, I count them but dung, that I may gain Christ. So there's no gaining Christ without losing these things. And so we're saying that if you could now learn to manipulate loss to get what you want. And because a lot of people will say, this is what I want. These are my goals. Come on, these are my goals. But they're not willing for the grain of wheat to fall to the ground. That is a big challenge. It's a big challenge. No matter what your goals are, no matter what your goals, how good they are and everything, you've drawn all that plan, you have to understand that technically, in other words, what I'm trying to say is that there is a price. What I'm trying to say, there's a price. Because you go into the year 2023 right now, you're looking at 2023 in front of you, and you can put down all those things you want to get. You want to become financially independent. You want to increase your investment. You want to have half a million in your account. You want to have moved from this apartment to that apartment. But you cannot get all that without actually losing something. It's not going to be possible. Except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So, I was trying to show you last week, you know, from this perspective, because I really needed you to understand that. A lot of people just think that things happen. They just happen, and it has to happen because I desire it strongly. Immediately you desire something, then you must be ready for the journey. Oh, God. There is a journey that you must pass through to get to that place. But many a times we want to get to that place, but we are not prepared. We've not packed our bags for the journey. Are you still here? You don't know. You know why I'm smiling? I'm excited. Because I'm excited, truthfully, just teaching you these things. Because many people don't know. Just like imagine a student wants to get A's in the exam. They just write it. Say, this semester, in the name of Jesus, I want to get all A's in the name of Jesus. Then you bring the paper. Then I'll put anointing oil on your head. Then I'll anoint the paper. Then you go and sleep. And borrow season 1 and season 2 from your friend. Keep it in your room. Then you will not collect another one. You don't have plan. Your one is for as far this one, I will start from that one. After the exam, but he usually doesn't fall to after the exam. Because once you have finished this one, it's tempting you there. It's going to be very hard. Then when you are done, you now say, God, I know that next year, this year, I'll do it next semester. Then you go again. And you'll be wondering how and why. Then you see, it's not easy. So now there's no, as I say, certainty. If I am not what doing those things, and I am reading my book, and I'm not sleeping from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock the next day, and I read the book, I'm in the class. Come on. You have to divide the things that, you know, you have to find those things. You know, there's a lot of things we want, but we're not willing to even, the funny thing is that we even know the path to take. But we're not willing to let those things go. And I'm telling you now, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. And just last week, remember I told you we just took a step into that verse when we, I said, let's not milk it. What is the truth? And we can see degree there. Except the grain of wheat falls to the ground and what? Dies. So there's something about the grain of wheat falling to the ground and saying, at least I try. How many of you are at that point where you paid the price, but you didn't pay the true price? Come on. You started paying the price. You wanted to pay the price. You said the grain of wheat falls to the ground, but it doesn't die. His life is still in its full capacity, but it has fallen to the ground. Hey, look at my friends. They are up there, and me, at least I have tried. The problem, the real enemy of the best is good. It's good. At least I have tried. The truth is that you will not get the result you want to get. So if you really want to get the results, it has to fall to the ground and what dies. So a lot of us try. We just, you know, when it has fallen to the ground, he looks at the other guy who has not fallen to the ground and he says, what? Huh? At least I'm on the ground. But the life is still intact. When the soil is coming to eat it up so that it can die, it fights the soil. The issue with that is many a times at that level, there's something that science called Hooke's Law. Don't worry, I just said it, but you understand it, don't worry. It says now that if you can push a spring, and all of you must have experienced this thing in your life. It said you draw a spring, it will return back to where it's coming from. You draw the spring, it will return back to where it's coming from. Then it said you will draw the spring to a point where it will exceed its elastic limits, it will not return back. You know those wires, I wish I could just get one. You just draw it, it's a common draw. But when you stretch it beyond that point, it stays like that. It doesn't go back anymore. That's Hooke's Law. So you are stretching it, right? But until you reach the point where it breaks the elastic limits, you have not done the work. Okay, best example in the house. This weightlifting example, nothing can beat it. Say, I want to gym so I have muscle. Right? Then you carry the weight, do 1, 2. You wake up in the morning by 5:30, actually, like every other person. You do 1, 2, 3, and drop it. You know, you can do 1, 2, 3 for 2 years and nothing will happen. Come on, do I have a weakness now? Why? It's nothing. Do you wake up in the morning? Do you carry the weight? But how many do you do? 3. You will never get muscle. You'll be tiny beku like me. Pastor does. He's registered in the gym. Oh. Don't try this guy. Oh. Registered in gym. If he push shirt for you now. Man, push it. He's registered in gym. Gym. He believes in it. Him and Apostle Dan went to register in gym. If I register in the gym, I will never attend. I will never go there once. I'm trying to show you that step. Because we want to reach our destinies. We know there are great things ahead of us. There's a great destiny for us. But we won't try to start and then get up and I say, but we have tried, but nothing happened. Nothing will happen. Because you're doing this stuff and you're doing it, but you're not doing it to the point where the grain of wheat has fallen to the ground and what? And dies. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me use relationship. Boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm asking myself whether I should do it or not. Don't worry. The man is telling me, dude. I'm just seeing fine people in church. Fine boys and fine girls.
So I asked, should I do it? Should I leave? A relationship just came to my mind to do it. But now, I asked myself, should I actually do it?
Somebody said, should I do it? I should touch that side.
Half-half love is not love.
Eh?
Half-half love is not real love. If you want to love boy, or you want to love girl, as the case is, love fully. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why are you smiling? Why are you smiling? She love boy. Okay. Fully.
That's a very terrible thing. What I just told you now, as simple as it is, just it's very powerful.
He's not going forward with me. I'm not going forward with him. Two of us. Because he is not totally in. You are not totally in. What about if that breaks my soul? I better be sharp. But that is the problem. Because you are sharp and you are playing that thing halfway, you're not totally in. He too is saying that I see her. I see her. She's not totally in. And all that. And everybody do that. So you can date for 8 years and still be boyfriend and girlfriend for 8 years. You will never make up your mind to go forward. Most of the time, you're also not willing to go backwards. That's why you're stuck. That's there. If you now love, and I say, what about and I feel everything? And that is why you need to come for love and the world. Settle that part. I can't spend my time teaching you that part. Now, how this is simple key. You don't start. Once you see this thing, and you say, so what about if I put in all? Before you start putting all, you should know whether you want to go ahead to really put all. That should be your goal. Before you write a goal now, this is the goal. So if you know if you want to hit that goal or not. So you put in everything. If it's not, if you don't talk to this boy, you can talk and go now, you see it's not there. Don't even start putting everything. But when you have found that person, I'm telling you, when you have found that person, many people sitting down here, you have found that person. Many of you have found that person. You say, yes, somebody say, lie, you have found that person, is there. But the issue is that when you are now with the person, because of what has happened to you before, you or whatever, or this too much wisdom, you can fall to the ground, but not die. So, you write on your phone, it will be, babe, heart, my heart. That one is the most common one. My heart. You someone is wondering, you say my heart. I say, your heart is not there. Your heart is there. I want to teach eternal weight of glory. But let me just enjoy myself first. So you do that. But is your in you the true your true heart? There are things you would not do. There are messages you will not send. There are things you will not steps you will not take towards this person. And this person too is doing the same thing towards you. So most of you will not be stuck. You hear what I say? Because the grain of wheat has fallen to the ground, but it has not died. It's afraid that if I die, I will suffer. Are we? That's the problem. Can we talk about that one some other time? All right. No, if you want, I'll talk about it some other time, but I can't do that now. I'll show you. So, I just want to show you that except the grain of wheat falls to the ground and what dies, it abides alone. So, we understand that there's a certain level of certainty on we can get for the gain we'll get when we actually pay the price, when the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. And then I began to show you how you can now manipulate loss. So, when you lose, somebody talk about loss, I said, you lose sleep, you gain it somewhere else. You lose money in this direction. You lose ice cream and movies and shawarma. If they disturb you for shawarma too much, don't be angry. They know how to. That is the only. They just say shawarma. I don't know why ladies and shawarma. I've told you that before. I don't understand the relationship between lady and shawarma. There's something. Guys eat shawarma, but not as. I still don't understand that. No matter how speaking in tongues they speak, if they like speaking in tongues, shawarma is still shawarma. It doesn't change anything. I don't know why. If you let go of those things, then you will get something on the other side. Right? I just want you to understand that. So, when I taught you that, I felt it will really help you in your life as you go forward. So any money you have not spent is in your account. You can now use it to rent the room you want to rent. But if you spend the money buying clothes and eating and doing all that kind of stuff and not even cutting down, someone said, did you say we should not eat? I didn't say that. I said eating. I meant and spending. Then you will lose it on the other side. You will not say at the December, I didn't hit any of those goals. But check what you did not sacrifice. Because the Son of God had to sacrifice his life. He had to lay down his life. And then he picked it up again. It was a choice. He understood how to manipulate loss. He himself manipulated the loss of his life. And said, so they didn't force him to the cross. It was not somebody that said, Jesus, go and die, go and die. He made a choice. That's why that manipulating loss meant choosing to lose so that you can gain. You choose to lose. Come on. So that you can what? Gain. You choose to lose. So if you are losing anything now, you're not making a conscious choice. Sometimes things are taken away from you. I told you, a door closes. But now you can also choose to lose something so that you can actually gain something. So if the Son of God will actually choose to lay down his life, he will tell you that what I'm talking to you about, when Jesus speaks to us, he doesn't speak to us out of something he just likes to say, something good. He actually is something you have experienced. Right? Now, take your Bibles with me. To Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Now, this, I want to draw this week and next week by God's grace. I want to draw and show you something that will help you, you know, really make the most of your life. Because when you understand this principle, it will help you to begin to make progress. If you want to have money in your account, then you can't spend everything you earn. Come on, that's simple enough. I'm saying that again and again because don't really talk about it's not have, you know, I don't have. I've told you, I said, no matter how much you earn, if you say, Pastor, I'm a car wash boy, I wash one car, 700, it's 1,000 now. They wash 1,000, I get 300 or 400. Let's calibrate. If you wash 5 cars, 300, let's say, I don't know how much they get now, let's say 300 or 400, let's say 300, right? If you wash 5 cars, 300, and that is what? 1,500. You make 1,500 every day. In 10 days, that's how much? Are you seeing money now? 10 days. 20 days, that's how much? You almost earn more than anybody that comes to do receptionist anyway. But after you wash 5 cars, what do you do? Madam, put her body. Put floater. Put her there. Eat well. They have to eat well. No, I'm not against food. My issue is that if you save a fraction of that, 3 months. Can we do all that? I want to go for. But I see young people, and many times you think that some things are so beyond you. They're not. Nothing is beyond you. If you start from where you are, and work this principle, and deprive yourself what a little, you prosper. Nothing. Forget. What's some stuff? Nothing. I said nothing. That was boy. I said a little. Would you deprive yourself a little? You can't just do so. Because the problem I've done love and the world, I'm doing money, business, and economics. The problem is that many people think that spending money is the sign of wealth. No, it's what you keep that is the sign of wealth, not the money you spend. It's what you keep. So if you buy it, if you can buy. I mean, when you are buying a phone, you are wondering, let's not go there. But the little you have, you want to show that you have. So you go and spend all that you have. To show that you have, but truthfully, you are showing somebody who don't care about you. The real way to show someone that you have money is to say, how much do you have in your bank account? Not how much did you buy this phone. Did you understand that? It's how much you have in your account that is how much you have. Not how much is this cloth you are wearing now? Say 45,000. How much is this cloth you are wearing now? Say 15,000. He has money more than you. That's dull. That's lie. That's wrong. If you are not careful, I won't preach this one. I'll preach this one. I'll stay here. If you are continuing looking at me like that, do you understand that? It's not what you have on that you have spent already that is going, that is the real value of the man who has money. In fact, the more you start having money, the less you put priority on those things. That is the gospel truth. Because you know your value, and where your value, true value is in your account. You can just be talking anyhow. The guy doesn't even answer. You say, sorry, I got no verse. What is he asking his account to? You are just talking nonsense. Until you check account balance, you find out that it's more than you. It's not what you are seeing. Because the low mindset is thinking that if I can dress and gauge, they will say I have. Come on. Anybody can gauge. Just manage for the next 2 months and buy everything. Use all the money and gauge. Yes, it will look like you have, but truthfully, because you have already spent the money is actually in somebody else's account. The person you bought the cloth from, the person you bought that shoe from, all your work went to him. You gave him the money. The wristwatch. I said, Pastor, I can't help it. I like bling bling. No problem. The bling bling, the person you gave the money, he took money away. He bought that thing. That thing is sold for you 32,000. I can bet you, divide that thing by 3. That's the actual price of that one. The remaining on top is profit. Then you are with the bling bling. So you have traded something for something. Now you have the bling bling, Gabby. You have it, and then he has your money. Who actually now has money? Huh? That Igbo guy you see there on that picture, say, well, come and buy, put this in there. Don't play with him, oh. Hey. Don't think you're buying something from his shop, you're talking to him anyhow. Till he tells you the value of that shop and what he has left, you'll be amazed. Are you here? If you will cut down like that, I've shown you that. But in all that I've shown you, I want to show you something deeper. I want to show you something with greater value. I want to talk to you about eternal weight of glory. How you can now lose things in this life so that you can get them in the other life. Are you here? So if you have understood that principle, you can begin to apply it in every area of your life. And the Lord has directed me to show you particularly this one, because this is more important than anything you will gain in this life. So in Philippians chapter number 2, there is now the possibility of transmission of... Now, for example, stay with me, please. I lose something here. For example, I decide not to spend this money buying this stuff. I can manage what I have. I press my... put them on and I can come like that and I can still go to work and come back. And so that I can accumulate this money to do a major project that can increase my financial level. Now, that is between here and here now. Here and now. I'm talking about here and now. Even if it's for between now and December. Between now and the next 5 years. Now, I want to talk to you now about doing something that will go beyond here and now, go to the other side. Come on. So if I'm losing something here, I cannot tell myself, on the other side, I will have something there. I'm not talking about something eternal. Because no matter how much you do, the clothes you will now buy, the investment you will do, in the next 5, 10 years, 15 years, they will all go end. They will end here. 70 years, it will end here. But there's also another investment. There's another loss you can make. There's a loss you can make in your life. As you are making that loss in your life, consciously, I'm not telling you by force, as you are making that loss in your life, you know you are making gain in the other life. It's that loss I want you to wake up to. So that you can begin to maybe appreciate and understand what this living for God is like. What the meaning. You can understand somebody like me, and you can stop for once and say, this boy is not crazy. You just understand, okay, so you are really not crazy. Because you say, why are you doing this church thing? Why? You just stop. If you understand what I want to say now, this week, next week, you stop and you say, obviously this boy is not crazy. Because you understand that when you lose your life here consciously, there's a gain on the other side. In fact, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Jesus was not actually talking about the principle for shoes and clothes and bags like I've taught you. He was talking about something eternal. He was talking about himself. There was only one Son of God. Now, because of his death, now we are all children of God. And oh, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the head of this thing. So in Philippians chapter number 2, look at Jesus now. Let this mind be in you in verse number 5, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this kind of mindset now. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God, but made himself of no... He made himself... They didn't make him of no reputation. God didn't make him of no reputation. He made a conscious choice and made himself of what? No reputation. And took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of what? Men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Death. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also, you see that there? God what? Also. So we've not mentioned God since. He was the one that has done this, he did this, he did that. But God also did this because he had also done something. So he said, God, wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You know the verse. So the thing here is that when we see Jesus exalted, and today we say in the name of Jesus, and the name has power. It was because he humbled himself unto death. He made himself of no reputation. So there's an eternal something going on right now because of something that he did here. Come on. So Jesus didn't get his name by dash. He got his name by the sacrifice he made on the cross. He was not dashed his name. You know, see, because you are my son. No, Jesus don't work that. God don't work that system. That because you are my brother, So even if you are qualified for the position, whether you are qualified for the position or not, when they speak the same language, you are the chairman of the company. God don't work that system. Jesus had to pay the price. He went through the cross. And so wherefore God also had highly exalted him. Anytime you do something, God also does something. God also does something. He does something. Anytime you take a step in his name, he also does something. He says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's no seeking of God that does not follow a reward. That reward does not follow. There's an also there. As you do something, he also does something. He's just trying, you know, when that also is there, trying to make you say you're not the only one noticing this thing. He's also there. He's also doing something. Say, I'm doing a lot. He's also doing something. And God had also highly what? Exalted him. So you see the Jesus, and this give something and gain something is real. It's real in this life. Because actually real from this life. The only thing, reason why I understand that if I sacrifice something here, I will get it the next year, next 2 years, is because it is real there. It's only heaven that makes everything here real. So because he gave his life, he was exalted. Eternally now. This eternal. This not after 5 years on that president to come. This not somebody will now forget. There arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. You see, you can do so much. You know, when we were in school and we're doing ministry and sacrificing and doing all that, there was this fellow that was doing SUG, running up and down, and I became class departmental something. I became departmental director of whatever and all that stuff. I remember I told him, I said, you are missing service. You're not coming to church. You're not doing all that. He said, you see, I have to be there. I said, this thing you are doing, after some years, they will forget you. They will change HOD. Somebody you will live here and there. Somebody will come that will do better than you. All these things you are doing. Yeah. But truthfully, if you go there now and mention the name, that time if you mention the name, go to that department. The guy they hurt. It's the star. Go there and mention, say, who is he? You say 5 sets ago. Say, I know he has passed. Just let it go. They don't bother you, care. But there's investment you make. Jesus Christ, we're still saying it today. It's forever, it's eternal. That's the kind of investment I want you to learn to make. That's the kind of sacrifice I want to learn to make. That as you come to church, every time you are in service seeking God, God also is putting something for you. Come on. You know, I was praying for this meeting and I was praying and just through the week. I already knew where I was going to, because immediately I was done, the Holy Spirit told me, show my people the real principle. Because the reason that is the real principle. The using this right principle for earth is very good. But the real principle is the eternal something there. And so I was praying. And he told me, he said, somebody told me sometime. Sometimes he just speaks to me. I don't know if when the meeting is going to be this meeting or that meeting. But he told me, he said, my people must understand that the things I really choose, actually, I was just one of those times. So the things that I really love and things I want to do, things I want them to do, things that come from their hearts. That's what he told me. Things that come from their heart. Why I'm saying that now is that you have to understand that this thing, when we talk about service to God, like you are, for example, you take your baby, you're coming to church. When there's no drag and there's no pull, when it's not so that, it's not that, those are the things that God really loves. We will pull you, we will drag you, but go beyond that. Flow from your heart. He will receive that. God loves a cheerful giver. Not the giver they say, give before he gives. He loves it when it comes from your heart. So the choices you make, the simple choice from your heart, choosing God to seek him, to worship him, to receive from him his word, to come around to church, or to be in this meeting, to make that small sacrifice here and there, he sees everyone. Now, I'm not just talking about, well, I'll teach you. I'm not just talking about, when we talk about this, this sacrifice you make towards God. You have to stay with me because I spent most of my time doing a recap and enjoying myself. So I lost a lot of time. We're not talking about this thing. I'm not talking about when you come to church, sacrifice towards God. I'm not just talking about when you come to church or whatever. Even when you're at work, I will show you from scripture. Whatsoever you do it unto the Lord. And then he will come and reward you in your workplace. So if you are doing something, you do it diligently and you do it properly and you do the right thing and you do it well. The Bible says he also sees that one and he rewards you. Are you here? But let's go on. Let's go on first of all. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So there's something deeper. There's something more. Because no matter what we do, we don't have a problem with 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The principle is true and you should apply it so that you can actually make something of your life here. But you have to understand that we can go beyond that and we can start talking about real gold. You have to pursue gold and have gold and do all that. But there's something more precious than gold. That is what I want to talk to you about today. It's an eternal weight of glory. It's the way they measure gold. They will measure eternal weight of weight of glory for you. It's an eternal weight. Look at that. But look at this first of all. In verse number 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may what? Obtain." Did you see except the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies there? Did you see it there? Everybody runs. He said, but one person gets the prize. So he's saying that you must run so that you get the prize. So he doesn't say, as fast as I run. Don't live your life like that. Did you see that truthfully? He said, one person gets, but everybody runs. Everybody, even the person that came last. Easy. So he said, did all of us run the race? We all run the race. Did all of us fall down? We all fell down, but not all of us died. But let's leave that for another discussion. Go forward. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in what? All things. Now they do it to obtain what? A corruptible crown. But we and what? An incorruptible. You see what Silver Paul says now? They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. So, no problem. Paul says, apply this principle. He even comes from there. He tells us, run so that you win. But when you win and you carry a trophy, like my director of sports, and put the trophy there, he says it's corruptible. You know what I say? He said, but we too can do the same thing. We can be training like that. What do you do with your life, this Dr. Gabriel? You will not settle down. I'm sorry, you can do. He says, all those things I'm doing, all those things you are doing too, you will get a crown too. He said, but the crown you will get is what? Incorruptible. So it is okay to pursue this principle and to apply it in your life and to actually get a crown. But the problem, Paul has told us now that crown we will get, all this stuff, it will be, is corruptible. It will finish. He said, but what we do, the same thing, we follow the same strictness, the same protocol. There's this lady, if you follow athletics a little bit, you know Amuse, this whatever, and all that. There was one time, you know, I was going through the papers and I saw an article where they actually took a picture with our coach. Rachel taking a picture with our coach and all that. And like, it's always so funny. We always talk about the person. We don't even talk about the coach behind the lady and all that. So all that. So you could imagine the strictness of diet. Don't do this. What are you doing? Don't do this. Don't do this. No, you can't eat this. You draw a list of don't eat. Then you come out in the morning. Oh yeah, start running. The coach is not running. You just see the coach running with them. You don't stopwatch. Jog, do 5 laps. 5 laps, lap number 4, because he's doing that. See, there's a strictness of to eat, to do, to everything like that. Come on. Bible says that we can apply the same principle. We should apply the same principle. Suffering some things. She let go of a lot of things. Right? So let's take with her. Let's use her, since I think you know her. She let go of a lot of things, a lot of food. You think you just wake up, the day you want to go and run, you've heard of all down Akbu. He said, Aku is my best food. I can't help myself. It's not about helping yourself. It's about the goal you want to achieve. I think you, there's this other people, this other group of people. Maybe you might not like them, but models, actually, they suffer exactly the same thing. And then, so you say, you just see the figure. You think they might have to maintain that figure strictly like that. And there are a lot of things not to eat. Or ballet dancers. Can you stand on your toes? You have to be light like paper to stand on your toes. There's a strict regiment of things that they have to do. But all that they do, the best ballet dancer dies at 87. All the treasures and gold she has is in the cupboard. Doesn't live here. So when we follow the same spiritual regimen, the same strictness, the same suffering, so to say, we suffer the same things. Paul says, we must understand that anytime we let go of anything here, we choose to lose our lives here, we must understand that we are doing it for an incorruptible crown. That you too will get a crown. But this crown you will get is not the one that will pass here just now. It's not a temporary something. It will be there forever. So it's okay. So it's okay when we now consciously choose to lose our lives. And we can make that kind of choice now. Knowing that we will gain on the other side. I'm not wasting my time when I preach. The time spent praying, preparing, serving God, participating in outreaches, serving God, loving people, making sacrifice here to talk to this one, calling this one, why even quarreling with people for their own life, self. That one is the worst. Why do you have to do this? What's that? Yeah, you quarrel with someone so that the person can have a life. You are pushing that stuff, all that stuff. I don't believe I'm doing it just. You have to understand, I'm not doing it as if I'm just a foolish guy. Just let me just be doing good. No, every good I'm doing is calculated. Every sacrifice I make, not just to have my own life and go my own way and lock myself in my house, but just to make sure people's lives go forward and I'm sacrificing and doing all that. I understand that there is a crown, eternal weight of glory. There's something. So you understand that when you go to your, when you help your neighbor, you do something selflessly from your heart. You lose your time. You say, I better help me watch this child. One is sick and they have to take this one to the hospital and the other one is at home and say, I beg, get me up there, and they rush and they go. And then you are there with that child and the child is a disaster. I've been talking about serving God though. You can't really seek God to serve. It's serving people that is serving God. And from your heart of hearts, you put your best into it. You put your heart into it. Because people talk about serving God. I think I'll do a teaching on that matter. How do you serve God? Where did you see him? It's serving people that is serving God. And so you put your heart to it and then you suffer actually because the child broke one glass cup in your house. The one you used to, that special glass cup, broke it. You actually suffer. You take early morning tea. The cup for early morning tea. You must be taking early morning tea. So you talk about cup for early morning tea. How do you have cup for early morning tea? You have one in your house for early morning tea. You have the cup for early morning tea. And you go and gym. After I drink early morning tea, you go and gym. Early morning tea. Let me take his example. And the child breaks it and all that. You suffer. But that loss from your heart to help that child, to help that family with the other one, you do that. It doesn't loss. Brothers and sisters, I say it doesn't loss. That glass cup, the loss you suffered for it, you will get it in eternity. And that loss will be for, that gain will be forever. That is true gain. You say, does that one count? Yes, sir. From your heart. You see what I'm saying now? It's not your child. You do that. And then you do, and you are trying to take care of this child, and it's out of not convenient for you, but you sacrifice that time. You have to actually now be. I would have gone, okay, this child is here. Because, how far had he begin? He said, if I beg, so don't thank you. God bless you. Don't say, I always tell you, don't say, thank you. No problem. God bless you. Say, amen. Take it. Because God will bless you for it. And that blessing you will get, they can't come and give you money back. If they now start giving you money for it, then it is gone. You hear what I said? You now say, thank you. Can we say 2 hours? Take that. Then it's gone. But you now say, no problem. They say, thank you. Thank you. God will bless you. I mean, this one, but I pick, take and I show you, go where you go. If you could even extend a little bit, and you extend a little bit, and say, no, okay, let him stay with me tomorrow. It's not because it's convenient for you, but because you understand what I'm teaching you now. You understand that if I make this sacrifice for 3 hours, I have a weight of glory in my life. That the money will not, they can't pay me and I go and buy something now. But God also will give me something. Okay, if you have gone home, just, I don't know what to do. I'm talking to you as if you are not here. Are you still here? So God wants you to begin to invest your life like that. And so you can get a reward. And the reward we are talking about is something eternal. You're not talking about something that will last forever. Not just reward here and now, because reward here and now is good, but you can also talk about a reward that will last forever. So when you are living your life, and somebody is wondering, why are you like this? How come you do these things? You understand why. You now understand an eternal weight of glory. When something is lost on this side, it is gained on the other side. You can't give somebody money and it's lost. There's really nothing like that. You give, Jesus actually talked about this. Can we look at what Jesus said about this? Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Let me just show you that. You know, Jesus also said something else. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to any of these little ones, he said, you will not miss your reward. Cup of cold water. I have to show people. I keep showing you. And when I say you don't miss your reward, there's a reward that God wants to give to you here, but the greater reward is the one on the other side. When we live for God and we serve God, here and now, in this life, He rewards us. But the greater reward is the eternal one waiting for us on the other side. Are you here? Matthew chapter what? 6, right? Look at what it says. It says in verse number 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Come on, it's possible. All those things can happen. Rust corrupts, and then thieves come in and dust. Right? After some time, it passes away. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Hallelujah. So you can actually lay for yourself treasures in heaven. You can actually have treasures in heaven by sacrifice of your time, by giving your money. Because you give it to somebody here, what you give never really does leave you. It actually moves to another side. Your time or whatever, it doesn't necessarily leave you. It just moves to the other side. So that's one of the surest way of laying treasures up on the other side. You give here, and he says, so the person has gained, I have lost. Okay, then how would you explain it is more blessed to give than to receive? Explain now. It's not blessed. This dear man of God, he said something to us some time ago. He said, when I give to you, you say thank you. He said, I should even be telling you thank you. It's true. So you say, thank you, sir. I'm very happy. He said, I should be telling you thank you. Because it means a channel. Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give. You will not understand that if you don't understand the eternal weight of glory. You say it's a lie. It's a lie. Okay, look at it. I have 10,000 naira. Which one am I going to let go? I have 10,000 naira. 10,000 naira. And I give it to him. I am short 10,000 naira. He has more than me. He has 10,000 naira now plus what he has before. I am short 10,000 naira from what I have. And the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a trick. He says it's a trick. And truthfully, if you look at it in this life, here and now, it's not possible. It's a trick. But the scripture was not written with that eyes. That's why what I'm teaching you now is powerful. Because really, I wanted to title Living from Eternity. Where you are, everything you are doing, I mean, that's what I told you about taking care of a neighbor's child. You hear what I said? You are looking at it not with eye of what I lost now, but with eye of eternity. How this time I spend with this child is going to come back to me. That's what I'm telling you, Living from Eternity. But I want to talk about the eternal weight of glory. I like that one more. Because it's sweet to hear. Living from eternity. I bet me I want to live for a year now. But when you understand that you get eternal weight of glory, they will be measuring stuff for you. Bam. Bam. I see they are measuring gold. But it's an a weight of glory. And guess what? It's eternal. So we have two things then. That's where it's actually a weight of glory and what? It's eternal. So we're talking about an eternal weight of glory. So you can start living for eternal weight of glory. Somebody said, but what about if I work? It's work, me, I work. They pay me at the end of the day. Should I not collect salary? I didn't say so. So when you work, can I preach to you? I'll go and come back next week. So somebody said, but it's work, I'm working. And they pay me. So the way you are saying it, that they pay me that's me. No, sir. You do your work with all your heart, with all diligence. So you attend to that customer. You attend to the customer. Let's say yourself, you are in a shop where they sell stuff. Good morning, sir. Oh, this one is good. That one is nice. You say, this one, no. Then you finish. You fold these clothes. You say, you sell clothes. You put it inside the bag. You put it nicely. And you do that diligently. And the person says, thank you very much. I never saw one like you. Thank you. Say, thank you. Say, God bless you. He says, oh, thank you. Say, oh, thank you so much. God bless you. That you get something here. But for that service that makes somebody else's heart glad, God blesses you for it. That makes your boss. Business is booming in your boss's office and things are working. You, which I not say, how much did they pay me? Madam, check that place. Check the shelf. Is it you? Are, is there? He said, you people have this. He said, check the shelf there. Check the shelf. You know, they say, how much did they pay me? I'll stand up. I'll go die. I'll be keep myself later. Me don't reach work now, 8 o'clock. He said, more they call 8 o'clock. When he take on work, 9:30. He just there. You are okay. No problem. You calculate how much they pay you. You give him back that same service, right? Then it's all done. You are balanced. But you can render that service from your heart. And then he will pay you what he can pay you. Then God will pay you the remaining parts. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Thank you. So, if you come to my place of work and I'm working with my heart, you'll be wondering, you know, you can have four people working and you are working with your hand and wondering, see, they do eye service. Not be eye service. Are you still here? Not be eye service. So that it's not about whether the madam will come and give you extra money, but you already know that service in this shop, I'm not serving her, I'm serving God. I'm serving God. Service in this shop. I'm saying, they say, continue. You're so tired, just like I do. And then you are different. You clean, you do your job well. And then customers come and they do, and they're happy, just you. And then you do another step, and they say, not concerning you. Understand something. There's an eternal weight of glory for that service. From this side, come on. From the boss, from the fact that you are doing well in that company, doing well in that business, for whatever the place is, and from the customer. Who you are serving correctly. Customer will come and say, hello, who's here? I'm coming. Check, see. I want to buy. Wait now. You see this? See the gown now. This is the gown I tell you about. What do you want to buy? See. Check that shelf. See, this guy. The person is there, is not happy. You just hurt somebody. Maybe you walk away. You say, what do you lose? They'll pay you salary at the end of the month. But the person that is not happy, that you did like that, you say, nothing happened. God is there. No, sorry, sir. Sorry, ma. You just hurt somebody. came to buy some. Look at what they're doing. I just, okay. You think the stress you put me through going to another shop when that thing is there because of that attitude of yours, it doesn't mean anything. Continue. We'll get one. We'll leave this life. We'll go to the other life. You will know what I'm talking of. As believers in Christ Jesus, because of our understanding of eternity, we live in different way. If you see me on the street, you say, "Oh, sorry, sir. You think it is boy and mumu?" No, there's a different way. I see something. I'm not like you see. They are trying to reach out. Who beat who? Now I get power pass. Now I win. No, just sorry. No problem. Go. All you do here, there's something else on the other side. So even if you are working for somebody, so when I'm talking about this weight of glory, I'm talking about living your life for God. I'm not talking about when you come to church. Everywhere you are, somebody will know that this person is living another life. There's something about this guy. There's something about this lady. You just develop us, you say, because you understand that whatever you do, you sacrifice, you take that time to stand up. You say, it's there. You say, come and show me the place. You say, the person is even rude. And then you stand up from where you are and say, look at it there, and you bring it out. And I didn't see it. It's not out of that free will of yours when you do that. There's a blessing for it. It's as if you stand up. That standing up, going to set that thing out properly and then attending to the customer, it's as if you went to the cross and died. And God also will highly exalt you. Hallelujah. If you've gone home, say amen. All right. It means everybody is still here. Somebody blessed today. I want to show you. Because it's the way a believer should live. Live like this. Not just, no. Don't live like this for free. You know, I'm not saying for free. No, not for free. Something is coming. That's what I'm talking about. It's just that sharpness. It's just that stuff I'm talking about. You know, when we talk about this live for God thing, just say, live for God, don't worry, just go. No, don't worry, go. There's something coming for you. There's an eternal weight of glory. It's entering your account on the other side. So do your best. Serve everywhere. And I'm going to show you. So I want us to look at this next week. We don't have much time today. I want us to look at this next week. We'll finish up next week. But can I show you one scripture? One. Let me do this. In 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. So that I'll begin from here, right? I'll begin from here. But if I've already given you this expo, when I begin from here next week, all of you do, I already know that verse. But I'll still begin from here next week. I want to milk it a little. I'll ask you some questions. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Are you there?
Yes,
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, did you see judge there? Shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love what is appearing. You see, Apostle Paul says, my departure is at hand, verse 6. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. But it is his course he's finished. It is his fight he fought. The fight that Paul fought and the course and all that stuff he did. Brothers and sisters, he did it himself. Now, how does it affect you? Did you meet Paul any day? Did Paul give you money? If you fight the fight, there is a big fight. If you course, you finish course, you don't finish course, there is a big fight. Otherwise, it's himself. It's himself he's doing. It's not. It doesn't affect me. Because as we stand today, I didn't see Paul. Paul didn't give me money. Nothing. But how come he now says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown? Now, the language there, when he says, look at this grammar. I don't use the little Greek and Hebrew. Simple English. Henceforth. He's here and he's what? Certain. You see certainty?
Yes,
there's a crown laid up for me. There's a crown. Certainty. I like the word he said. Laid up. Come on. It's there. And it was arranged, kept, laid up for me. It's a crown laid up for him. For what? For writing these letters we are reading today. That's what it is. He didn't give me money. He just wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to Philippians and to Colossians and to self. And we are reading a letter today. That's all. Come on. He moved from one place to another place, preached one gospel there, preached one sermon there. He went there, preached one sermon. Did he? Don't think I didn't even preach to me. He just wrote it. It's only letters I'm reading. when he was drinking, doing all that stuff, as he was doing all that and investing himself, his life, into our lives, there was a crown. God was also doing something for him. This is that, eh? So, what I mean is, I don't know if you could get that, if you got that just now. Paul was doing good. Put it that way. He was just doing correcting. He was preaching, writing, letters, talking to people, counseling people, doing all that stuff. He said, I have fought a good fight. I didn't give him fight to fight. It's not me. I don't know anybody. So it's his choice to live a life in such a way that blesses other people. His life, the fight he fought for himself and all that is what blessed us today. Because his life blessed us, God rewards him. I've said it clearly. Paul's life blessed us. Not even directly, indirectly through writing letters that you are reading today. And because of all that, God is blessing him. So what would you do to bless others so that you too will see blessings in your life? So that there will be a crown waiting for you. He was spending his life for God, being a blessing to the people around him. Whatever your profession is, I'm going to go now because I'll talk to you more next week. The Holy Spirit will use what I've taught you today, help you throughout this week. Whatever your profession, you don't have to be a pastor, please. We're not talking about starting crusade. No. We're not talking about starting crusade. We're not talking about whatever your profession is, live your life in such a way that other people around you, they are blessed because you are there. If you are whatever, do it well. You say, I worked in this place for 3 years. I did my best in this place. In short, while I was here, everybody was happy. People were excited because I was here, because I was helping people. When somebody comes and needs help, show mercy. Thank you, Jesus. My time is up. Show mercy. And you're nice. People say, I'll lay you for this place. Thank you. You know, that life, it's not about pastor. It's not about reading Bible. No, it's not only about that. Amen. Living your life in such a way that people around you are blessed brings a reward for you. And when you start living like that, you actually start living like Christ. Because people start seeing sacrificial life. You are sacrificial. Put your life out for others. Are you still here? Yes. Next week I will come and I will round this up better. And I think you will get a better understanding. But I trust you are blessed today. Yes. So you start living for eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory. Living for something. God bless you. I'll see you next week.